Good morning, Open Door. We're glad to have you all here this morning. Will you all please stand as we begin worship? We're going to worship the Lord this morning.
Stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. It's right.
We're here for one reason, and that reason is, well, two reasons. One reason is to praise God, because God is holy. Amen. Amen. That's what God pressed upon me this week, that I'm holy, and you're here to worship me. And Larry's going to bring you the word, which is God speaking to us. Amen. So you all bow your heads as we open up with prayer. Dear Lord God, I praise and I thank you, God, for our church. I thank you that we can come here this morning and lift up our hands and worship you, the one true God. I thank you for your Son who shed His blood on the cross, God, to redeem us back unto you. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have sent to us to be with us and to help us and to guide us, God. Lord, I pray that your anointing will be upon this worship service, and especially upon the word that Larry has for us this morning, speaking through your Bible, God. And I thank you for it all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Thank you.
Father God, we do come as your church. And we do cry, holy, holy, holy. You are so merciful. You are so good and kind. You are so forgiving and loving. We do cry, holy. You are set apart from everything that is unholy. You are pure. You are right. You are truth. Lord, we come and lift our hearts of praise to you and thank you, Father, for the privilege and the honor that we can walk into this place freely and lift up your name with our voice loudly. That you are so worthy to be praised. And we want this praise to come from our hearts to glorify you and you alone. It's not that the praise is for us, that the praise is for you. That you would find it as a sweet offering, Lord. And Lord, as we proceed forward in this service, Lord, that you will bless it. Father, you will bless your word. Lord, you would help me to preach your word. And Lord, as always, if I'm going to say something that is not true, that is not right of you, Lord, I pray that you would silence my lips and not allow me to speak. But Lord, that you would rise up the one for you that who has your word that you have ordained. Lord, I present myself to you simply as a servant, nothing more, nothing less. So, Lord, I ask that you move powerfully today. That your holiness, your Holy Spirit will fall upon this place. And there will be such a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. We ask it in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much, Mike. That was wonderful. We noticed that Cynthia was missing. She's been not well all week, so pray for Cynthia. And we know that that's kind of going around a little bit, right? But this morning, I want to have a great privilege. We have a great privilege as churches. We are going to bring some young ladies forward, and you all could come right now, and they're going to present themselves for membership in this church. I called you young lady. Don't listen to her. She has no clue what's going on. Right? Nah. Actually, it's really incredible because, am I allowed to tell how old you are? How old are you? You're going to be 30. See? Told you. How old are you? 73. How old are you? And how old are you? Are we blessed? We are blessed, right? Yeah, they're babies, right? Well, these three, Sharon Wade and Angelica Holden and Cadence Habit, have come before you, church, to present themselves with membership to this church. And as you well know, I've already met with them all personally and gone over what they're getting themselves into, all right? So with that being said, let's go ahead and move forward with this. And I'm going to ask you, Sharon, you, Cadence, and you, Angelica, have you all read and agree with our church's constitution and bylaws? Yes. Do you agree to attend church regularly? You all already do. Do you all agree to support the church regularly through financial support? You do. Do you agree to find a place of service in this church over a reasonable amount of time? They all already signed up and extended. So, amen, right? And almost all of them, I believe, are working in VBS. So how about that, right? So they're already on that. Do you agree to submit to the pastoral leadership of the church? Good. Well, here. Nice. Do you agree to allow the members of this church, Sharon, Angelica, and Cadence, do you agree to allow the members of this church to hold you accountable in love according to God's holy word? If you agree, say, I will. Do you agree to love the church and promote unity and fellowship among the believers? If you agree, say, I will. Have you read and do you agree with the Baptist faith and message? Yes. Amen. Okay, congregation, we turn to you. Congregation, you must agree to these things that I'm going to ask you for Sharon and Angelica and Cadence. The membership of Open Door Baptist Church, do you agree to recognize Sharon, Angelica, and Cadence as a member of Open Door Baptist Church? If you're a member and you agree, please stand. Do you, members of Open Door Baptist Church, do you agree to love Sharon, Angelica, and Cadence as a member of this church and make them feel welcome and accepted members of this family? If you agree, say, I will. Do you, Open Door Baptist Church members, do you all agree to hold Sharon, Angelica, and Cadence accountable in love to God's holy word? If you agree, say, I will. Do you, members of Open Door Baptist Church, do you agree to be accountable to Sharon, Angelica, and Cadence? Do you all agree to be accountable to them as members of this church family? If you agree, say, I do. Amen. Welcome to the family. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, thank you very much. It's very exciting. And listen, not that I'm trying to take anything off of anybody who joined the church this morning, but I got to tell you, if anybody was excited about joining the church as Cadence Habit is, Lord, we'd have a full-blown revival breaking out all in this place, man. She's jumping up and down in my office, crying and shouting and everything. And I'm like, yes, yes, right? So, look, just hope she ain't doing that trying to get out, right? Amen. Well, welcome to church this morning, and it's going to be a great day in the Lord. And I hope you're beginning to pray for me already with my voice. It's still a little bit, not as bad as last week, I don't think. But I'm working on it. You have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Philemon. You open them up to chapter 2. Say that out loud, Mike. There is no chapter 2. Just a test right there, right? Open up the book of Philemon, chapter 1. There's only one chapter there. Well, last week, if you weren't here last week, I asked that you would go back and go online and get and listen to the sermon. I've had so many comments about that service last week. I got to tell you, the Spirit of God was just moving powerfully in that word last week. And that's all on Him, because I know what I gave Him to work with, all right? But last week, we looked at the topic of forgiveness, and we're in that series right now on forgiveness. And it centered in on family. Those relationships that we have within our physical family, our everyday families, our at-home families. Well, this morning, I want to take this area of forgiveness and just step it up just another notch. And I want to focus in on the topic of forgiveness in the area of our spiritual families, this family right here. Now, our church families, relationships between brothers and sisters in Christ, right? That's what I want to look at. But first, let's kind of refresh from last week. Let's catch up, right? If you remember last week, point one, there was only one point last week. Forgiveness changes our relationship in our families. And we know that to be true, right? And we talked about Philemon and the perverse worship practice there in Ephesus. I don't need to go all through that, right? That perverse worship practice there in Ephesus under the false goddess of Demeter, and how that worship affected his personal family. But then Philemon at some point came under the teaching of Paul. He comes under the teaching of Paul, and he learned of the loving grace and forgiveness of the one true God. And that knowledge changed him, and it changed his family. And that's what God Christ will do. That's what Jesus Christ will do when he gets in your family. He's going to change it. And some people think, oh, I don't want to. No, listen, it's not a have to change. It's going to be a want to change. There's a big difference in that. So it gets in there and it changes him and it changes his family. And now Philemon and his family, his wife and his son, were also changed. They were saved and they held church in their own home. And I explained to you what that, and I explained to you what that sin of unforgiveness in the family unit does to a family. All right, we talked about that, and you know what it does. You know what that unforgiveness does. That sin problem of unforgiveness is it divides. Right, it divides the family by dividing the relationships from within inside the family. Now, undoubtedly, every one of us has had some sort of issue within the family unit, including me. We've all had those issues inside our family unit where we have had to offer forgiveness. And until we do that, it is literally a wound that will not heal. Let me tell you, repeat that. Until we get through this thing of unforgiveness where we're willing to go and forgive, until we do that, it is literally a wound that will not heal. Because there's a spirit of unforgiveness in the marriage, in the home, and in the family. And it infects the family unit. James Garfield was president for just 4 months in 1881, when on July 2nd, 1881, he was shot in the back. He was shot in the back, but it didn't kill him. You're all interested in this. I know you. You're a history buff, right? But he got shot in the back, but the bullet didn't kill him. The doctor there took his finger, and he felt into that bullet hole to see if he could locate the bullet, but he couldn't find it. Now, the bullet didn't kill him. The bullet never killed him. He lived all through July. He lived all through August and into September. And they would parade all of these doctors in through the White House, in and out of the White House. And they were going in to see Garfield. And they would go in there, and every one of them, every one of those doctors would, would take their finger, and they would reach up into that bullet hole, and they would reopen the wound, and that they would search for the bullet. And none of them, not a single one of them, ever found the bullet. But he died in September of 1881. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. He didn't die from the bullet. He died from the loss of blood. Or he did not even die from the loss of blood. He died from the infection that came from the fingers of the doctors who kept probing that wound. Now, let me tell you something, Christians. That right there is a great illustration of unforgiveness. No wound can ever heal when you constantly pick at it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all thinking about some of your kids, right? No wound can ever heal when you constantly pick at it, when you are constantly reopening it, when you constantly remind yourself, when you constantly go back and play it over and over again, and you continually, constantly bring it up. When you constantly play it over and over in your own mind and in the home and within the family. Listen to me closely now. You can never forgive someone. You can never ever forgive someone as long as you constantly open the wound up. And as you do it, you stick the infection in it a little deeper and deeper every time you put your finger in, until it just leaves you dead on the inside. It leaves you compassionless, with no compassion, in relationships that are lifeless. And then when that all takes place, then a root of bitterness begins to rise up in your spirit. That is unforgiveness in the family. So that was point number one. Now, point number two, let's talk about unforgiveness in our spiritual families. Let's talk about unforgiveness in this family, which goes to point number two. You all ready? I get a drink. Point number two, forgiveness changes relationships in the church family. Forgiveness changes things in this family, ecclesiastically, in the churches, but in the church as well, right? Now, Calvary teaches us that there is forgiveness. That's what Calvary teaches us. It teaches us that there is forgiveness, and forgiveness changes how we relate to one another. It definitely changes how you and I relate to God. No, we come here with one thing in common, right? We come here under the blood, the saving grace of Jesus Christ, right? We all come here seeking forgiveness, right? That's what we are. We are saved by grace through faith. What? We're saved of what? Of our sins. Wow, through forgiveness, who? By offered by Jesus Christ, right? So it definitely changes how you and I relate to God, but also to one another on a spiritual level. You understand? It has an effect in here. Now go back and look at these few little verses right here. Go back to where we were last week. Philemon chapter 1, verse 1. Look what it says. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend. Some versions say brothers. To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. To the beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Now, remember, that is singular there. It's in your house, Philemon. It's a singular church. But now watch this. Look at verse 3. Grace to you. Now, there's a change going on here in the text. Something is switching. It says grace to you. Now, that's plural. So now Paul is speaking to the whole church here. It's just like I'm speaking to you. That's what Paul's doing. He's speaking to the whole church here, right here. Listen, I'm not so sure, and I almost wonder, and I don't know this for sure, but I almost wonder if Paul did not put this little epistle, this little letter, in the hand of Onesimus, right, to deliver. I wonder if he said, hey, Onesimus, you take this letter, you take it, and you give it to Philemon, and you read it in the church, and you read it right there in the church in his house. The church is in his house. That's where I want you to read it. Now, you're all looking at me like, what are you talking about, Pastor? What are you talking about, Pastor? Who in the world is Onesimus? Well, Onesimus was the slave of Philemon. Onesimus was a slave. Remember, Philemon was wealthy. You'd have to be wealthy. I would have to be wealthy, right, to have a church like this in my home, right? So Philemon was wealthy. So he would have had slaves. I didn't say this is politically correct. I'm just telling you what the scripture is, all right? He would have had slaves, and that would not have been unusual at all at that time. And Onesimus was a runaway slave who was one of the slaves that he owned. So he was a runaway slave, and not only did he run away, but he took something with him, because Paul is going to make reference to that soon in this text. Well, we'll get to it over the next few weeks, but I'll show you that coming up. Paul makes reference to it, but Onesimus, the slave of Philemon, took something and he left. Now, if you're trying to get away from somebody finding you, right? A runaway slave who took something. Now, if you're trying to get away from somebody finding you, where are you going to go? If it was me, I'd probably run to Eldersville. Maybe Collier's, maybe East Springfield or something like that. I don't know. No, you're not going to do that. That's not where you're going to go. You know where you're going to go? You're going to go to New York City. You're going to go to San Francisco. You're going to go somewhere where there's a very large population, right? You're going to go to mingle in with about 8 million people. You're going to go up there because you know what? If I move into Eldersville, people are going to know if I move into Eldersville, right? I'm looking at people from elders, right? They're going to know it, right? But I'm going to go where I'm going to mingle in with about 8 million people. And you know what? You're going to go up there where 8 million people are, and you're going to blend into the crowd. You're just going to become another face in the crowd. Well, that's what slaves did in Paul's day. They would run away, and they would go get to the city of Rome. So Onesimus, who steals something, probably money, from Philemon, he leaves and he runs away. And he gets to Rome and he hears this name, Paul of Tarsus. He begins to hear this people talking about Paul of Tarsus. And this Paul of Tarsus is in prison here in Rome. And Onesimus remembers back because he heard Philemon talk about Paul. Because why? Because Paul impacted Philemon with the gospel. So Philemon would have been talking about it. So Onesimus would have heard Philemon talking about it. And so he's heard Philemon share about Paul and who Paul was. And he decides, I need to go see this guy. He had an impact on Philemon. Maybe I need to go see this guy. You know what? Because I myself, Onesimus is thinking, I'm struggling. You got to imagine he's probably in a panic. He's probably always afraid somebody is going to find me, and if I'm sent back, they're going to kill me. That's probably his mindset, right? And so Onesimus, obviously, he hears something about Paul, and so he goes to Paul, and Paul leads Onesimus to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Paul don't care where you came from, what you look like, or what you're labeled. Paul's just going to share the gospel with you. That's a word for us right there, right? So so Paul leads Onesimus to the Lord. Now look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. He says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. So verse 10 there you see where Onesimus came to Christ through Paul, and Paul refers to him in this letter. So Paul shared with him the gospel, and Onesimus comes to Christ, and now Paul is going to send Onesimus back to his master with a letter. Getting a picture here, right? Runaway, goes in, gets saved by Paul. Paul's going to send him right back to his owner whom he ran away from. Boy, there's such a great analogy we could unfold in that. So he's got this personal letter. Onesimus has this personal letter, and listen to what this personal letter says. If you're looking there, look at verse 6. Go to verse 4 there. Go to verse 4. He says there, I thank my God, Paul, Paul's writing this letter to Philemon, and he's going to send it with Onesimus. He says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith. Wouldn't that be a great thing for our church to be known of? Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Here, Philemon is saying, I hear of your love for the Lord Jesus and toward all those who believe in Jesus Christ as well as their Lord and Savior. You not only love the Lord, but you love all the saints as well. Now look at verse 6. That the sharing of your faith, the gospel of forgiveness, right? To all, right? The sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You need to circle those two ends. Which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now keep in mind, this letter from Paul to Philemon is going to be read in front of the entire church. Just like I'm talking to you, it's going to be read to the entire church. So here's what Paul was saying to Philemon. He's saying, Philemon, I'm sending back Onesimus to you, and he's not your slave anymore. He's your brother in Jesus Christ now. That's what he's saying. He said, you don't no longer own him. The only person who owns him now is Jesus Christ. So I'm sending him back. So here's the question here's what he's asking. Here's what Paul's asking Philemon. What are you going to do now? What you going to do when they come for you, bad boy? What you going to do? What you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you? What are you going to do when Jesus comes for you? What you going to do? What you going to do, Philemon? You see, God forgave you, Philemon. So are you now going to forgive Onesimus who has wronged you? Now remember, this is in front of the whole church that this will be read. And you say, well, that's just so tacky to do it in front of the church. Well, let me tell you something, church. Do you realize that things get circulated around the church faster than they do the CIA? Things get circulated around the church faster than they do the CIA. In fact, it's faster than the internet. In fact, it's faster than any communication satellite that's circling the earth right now. It's faster than that. Do you know that? There are no secrets. You think you've got a secret? You think you've got this secret? The problem is everybody walks around in the corner and they whisper about it. You ought to be sitting in my office sometimes when people think I can't hear them. I'm just saying. Listen, everybody knew that Onesimus was a slave of Philemon. It was common knowledge. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew that he had stole something. Everybody knew that he had run away and was gone. Everybody knew what he had did. Everybody knew it. Everybody in the church knew it. And now they see Onesimus come back, and they hear this and they hear this letter that Paul writes, and they wonder, what is Philemon going to do now? How is he going to handle this? What's he going to do? Well, let me let you in on something here. Especially if you lead a ministry or if you're a pastor, it's the picture of how leadership in the church is to be forgiving. Why? Because you're to be forgiving. You are to lead by example, to be in the image of Christ. Listen to me very carefully. You cannot hold and harbor an ill feeling of unforgiveness toward a brother or sister in this place. You can't do it. You want to know why? Because it's wrong. You want to know why it's wrong? Because it's sin. It's sin, and it hinders, watch, and it hinders the unity of the church. It goes against the very character and nature of God. And listen to me, and it goes against what Jesus Christ did for you. It hinders the worship of the believers. Watch, it infects the body. It brings in an infection, and it infects the body, it infects the church. It ruins our witness. It ruins our testimony of the gospel. And it mocks our faith. I want all the forgiveness that God offers, but I'm not willing to give an inch of mine. It mocks the gospel and mocks our faith, which is to be forgiving just as Christ forgave us. And listen, once Christ forgives you, he forgives you. He doesn't constantly keep probing it. He does not do that. When he says, I'll bring it up no more, you know what he means? Do you know what he means? He means, I will bring it up no more. But we live in bondage that, oh man. Listen, I'm up here telling you whether you like it or not, it's sin. Not to forgive a fellow brother or sister in Christ when they have wronged you. Anybody here ever been wronged before? Have I ever wronged before? Yes, I have, unfortunately. Not proud of that. We have to be willing to forgive those who have wronged us. And when that happens, when we refuse to do that, it hinders the fellowship and worship of believers and the effectiveness that we have. Watch, it hinders us in worship, and it hinders the effectiveness that we have to lead others to faith in Jesus Christ. Because when I am willing to take the forgiveness, but I'm not willing to forgive it, you know what you're going to call me? A hypocrite. That's why in 1 Corinthians, this is serious stuff. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, where Paul talks about coming together for communion, we are instructed to examine ourselves that there should be no divisions between us. And if there is, we are to fix them before we take communion. It's that serious. Understand, the Bible says that if we disobey that, we can become sick and even die. I think that's pretty serious. Now, why would he do that? Because unforgiveness between believers is a sin, and sin is not to be in the house of the Lord. Listen, do I sin every day? I'm not proud of that. I'm not using that as a badge of honor. I'm not trying to think, well, you know, hey, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, unfortunately, I do. And you know what? So do you. But how many of us go in the morning and the evening and say, Dear Lord, you know what his word says? He is willing and just to forgive. The problem is you have a problem forgiving yourself. And you keep yourself in bondage. But look, that's what he says when it comes about taking communion. That we can become sick or even die. Why? Because unforgiveness between believers is sin. Whether it's your wife, whether it's your husband, whether it's one of our leadership team, me, Richie, Zeke, Mike, whether it's a Sunday school teacher or the greeter at the door or anyone in the sanctuary or even any believer for that matter. It could be a believer that's not even here. Let me tell you something. It is a sin for us to be unforgiving, and it starts with me. It starts with me and with you, we together, right here, right now. This is where it starts. Listen, it's sin and it will kill relationships in the church. It will disrupt the worship in the church, meaning your sin will affect others. You know how it affects others? Here's what it does. It's because I get sometimes, when I won't forgive myself, it disrupts my service to the Lord in the church. I'm so unworthy. I am unworthy to be here in front of you. But I am made righteous by the blood of Christ. Amen. That's how I stand here. I don't stand here on my merit. I stand here on the merit of Jesus Christ and His blood alone. You know what else it'll do? Sin in the church, unforgiveness in the church. It will kill the mission of the church. And that is to love one another through our love of Christ. Isn't that what Paul was telling Onesimus when he wrote, or he was telling Paul, or Paul was telling Philemon in there? Isn't that, those verses I just read you, isn't that what he was telling him? It will kill the mission of the church. That is to love one another through our love for Christ. What is our church statement, purpose and mission statement? Love God, love others, serve both. You know what else it'll do? It will kill you spiritually. Amen. And this goes back to what I said. It'll kill you spiritually to where you become ineffective for where God can use you in the church. Because who's the hardest person to forgive sometimes? Is myself. And God looks at us and says, look, dude, I forgave you, but you keep holding on to it. We come up and ask God, we take those chains and we lay them before God and say, God, forgive me. He does. But when we get back up off our knees, we reach back down, we pick those chains back up and sling them over our shoulder. And we live in this bondage. It kills you spiritually. Just close your Bibles and let me have your attention. Just let me have your attention for a minute. Do you know what unforgiveness really does? It puts you in prison. If you've ever been in prison, it's not a good place. It puts you in prison. Unforgiveness in the church will imprison you. It will hold you captive. And it'll bring you to the point where you just can't come and go freely as you want to. Do you want to know why? Because unforgiveness keeps wounds open. You know what else it does? It produces bitterness. And it gives Satan an open door of opportunity. Do you understand that? Unforgiveness gives Satan an open door of opportunity. If you would go read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, it says what? It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Right? That's what that text says. When we are unforgiving, we give Satan opportunity. We give Satan opportunity. You know what opportunity does? Opportunity allows Satan, he allows his sin to work through the entire church. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a little bit of yeast works through the whole dough, right? A little bit of sin will work its way through the entire congregation. The yeast is anger and bitterness, unforgiveness. You know what else unforgiveness does? Unforgiveness bars the door through which we all must pass to enter salvation. Unforgiveness bars the door through which we all must pass to enter salvation. Why would I say that way? Let me tell you, if you don't get anything else, you want this. because it's you, fellow Christian, you, fellow believers in Christ, you, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, it's because of you, you are the holder of the keys of the gospel that offers forgiveness. You hold them because you've received it. Remember I told you to circle the two words in? You in him, in you? You getting it now? Now listen closely. If you are going to have a relationship with God the Father, let me tell you something, Christians. If you are angry and bitter and you're unforgiving toward a brother or sister, you cannot have a relationship with the Father. You cannot have a relationship with the Father. If you are unwilling to forgive, Scripture says this, if you are unwilling to forgive, that God the Father is unwilling to forgive you. And you can't enter into a relationship with God unless you have been, say it, forgiven of my. You can't have a relationship with the Father. You cannot. Even Jesus says that's impossible. Why? Because it imprisons you. Unforgiveness imprisons you. It holds you hostage. It separates you from freedom, and that in Christ. In 1343, the Duke of Guelders was killed in battle. Now, that area was what we now know as Belgium today, in the lowlands of Germany. And the Duke there, he had two boys. One was named Ronald, and the other one was named Edward. And the two boys fought over who was going to become the third Duke of Guelders. They even went to battle. They both had armies. They had armies, and they went to battle, right? They went to battle against one another. And the younger, Edward, beat Ronald on the field of battle and could have killed his brother, but did not. He captured him instead. And he put him in prison. And he had a special room built in the castle there, a room that he turned into a prison. And that room had bars, but the bars were wide enough for a person to walk through. I hope you're getting this analogy. God has a door for us to walk through. He has this room built, had bars on it, and it was wide enough for a person to walk through, and the door was there, and there was a door there, but the door was unlocked because it was a little smaller than a normal sized door. But it was a door, however, that a person could walk through except for Ronald. You see, his nickname was Ronald the Fat. That's how he is known in history, actually. And Ronald could not fit through a normal door, and he could not go through the gates. And so his brother imprisoned him in this cell in the castle, and people would come and they would look at him and they would chastise him and say, "Why are you imprisoning your brother?" And Edward would say this, "He's free to leave anytime he wants." Do you understand? We're free to leave the sin that God offers forgiveness anytime we want. Edward would say, he can leave anytime he wants. The doors are not locked. He can walk through the bars. But every day, you know what Edward would do? Every single day, Edward would send pies and cakes to the cell, fried chicken, some Sonny's barbecue, some cornbread with butter. Right, brother? All you can eat, right? All that good stuff, right? Amen. Drover's wings with loaded fries. And he just feed him and feed him and feed him. And you know what Ronald did? Ronald ate and he ate and he ate and he ate and he stayed in prison for 10 years. That's unforgiveness. That's unforgiveness, folks. But you know there's good news today. Because of the Christ in me and the Christ in you, some of you can walk out of the prison today that holds you captive. if you would only shed the appetite that you have for unforgiveness. Remember last week I talked about how we nurture it, feed it. Only if you would shed the appetite that you have for unforgiveness. Now, many of you here today can be set free and can live life free from harboring all these ill feelings and bitterness and revenge towards others. You could be set free if you'll just put down the fork of unforgiveness. The great news of the gospel is this, is how God loves you. He loves you enough that he sent his only begotten son to die for your sin. You say, but you just don't know, Pastor. I don't know, and I don't necessarily need to know. I tell you who needs to know is you and a holy God. And just by the way, he already knows. Right? He already knows. There is no sin too big, too large, too black that he cannot forgive. None. And that in this moment, right here, at this very moment, right now, the Word of God says this, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all of our unrighteousness. That just went right through your ear and right out the other side. You want to know why? Because we hear it all the time. Listen to what I'm about to say. I'm trying to do, if you were here Wednesday night, I'm trying to do what I'm standing on right now. See, all you smiling. Underneath my feet, underneath this carpet, is the verse that says, preach the word. In this very moment, the word of God says to you, to me, to you, the Word of God says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us all of all our unrighteousness. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that? But some of us are locked into a prison of unforgiveness. Whether it be others or even ourselves, because we will pray that prayer, ask God to forgive us for our sins, and then we'll pick them chains back up. We'll pick them right back up. We're locked into a prison. We're hurt, and we think it's not fair. But listen to me, right now, right here, this day, at this time, at this moment, I call you to come to Jesus. And be unyoked from the burden of unforgiveness. I call you to come to Jesus and begin to think of your sin in your life and what a holy God has had to forgive you of. And ask him to give you that very same heart and attitudes for forgiveness, even to yourself and others. Would you not be willing to forgive as he just forgave you? Now, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I invite you to this altar. Is there something special about this altar? No. There's something special about taking a step towards Christ. Come and give your life to Christ. He's willing and just right now, right here, to forgive you of everything, all of it. Find the forgiveness that is the sweetest gift of grace and mercy you will ever, 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 ever find. And you know what the bonus is? Freedom. Oh. The bonus is freedom. Find a freedom that forgiveness brings that you so desperately need and want. You do. I know you do. But for so many of us that are here this morning, for whatever reason, we just hold on. We hold on to it. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. You need to come and you need to be set free. Not by me, but by the Lord. And maybe there's somebody on one side of the sanctuary that needs to come with someone on the other side of the sanctuary, but you need to come to the altar today. But here's what I beg you. Respond to God's Holy Spirit that is leading you to forgive right now. Some of you have it on your heart. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe the person isn't even here. Maybe they are here. But listen, you need to respond to God's Holy Spirit that is leading you to forgive right now. Come and thank God that He's opened your eyes. And that He can open the cell of unforgiveness and you can walk out free. That is a day of rejoicing. Amen? That is a day of rejoicing. Would you rejoice in the forgiveness of God for you? And would you rejoice in the forgiveness of God for others? Let's stand. Let's stand. Would you come to Jesus? Would you come to unload the burden of unforgiveness? Would you do that today? Even as I speak, even as I praise, pray, and come, you come. Let us pray. Our Father, it is in these very moments, I pray that your word will work in our hearts, Lord. That you will move powerfully through your Holy Spirit to convict us, to move. I pray you will work in this body of believers. I pray that you work with me and work with this church through forgiveness, Lord, through forgiveness. That we will be one, united together. We will be one. We will be united by your Spirit. And we will be mighty warriors for the gospel of Jesus Christ for all people. Lord, let us not be hindered by something that we do that would stop the gospel. Let us be warriors, not prisoners. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You slip out even now, you come. Don't wait, just come. Lord speaking to you, you come. You need to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You come to me, I will help you. This is the moment, this is the time, this is the opportunity for you to come.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my
Always true, you are light.
What a prayer that is right there. Well, thank you all for being here today, and I pray that the Lord has unburdened you and set you free this morning. And I know there's a process to that, and I get it. But listen, I'm praying that the Lord will continue through this series to help us all to get there, including me. Just a couple very brief announcements. And the first one is that in the very top of your bulletin here, where it says Tuesday, May 2nd, Women's Missionary Union, all ladies invited. The time is wrong. It's not 6 o'clock. It's 6:30, okay? And if you get one of these, read it. We don't print these just to hold. No, get it, read it. But also, if you're reading this, there's a missions. If you're planning on going on a mission trip, please stay. The meeting is only going to be about 10 minutes, but please stay and meet us right up here in the front, right here, right as soon as I dismiss you, okay? I love you all, and then more importantly about all that is Christ loves you way more than me. Amen. Amen. So listen, when you go out of here, go with that heart, because somebody's going to come out to offend you. Be forgiving. Just remember how Christ forgave you. I love you all. I'll see you Wednesday, hopefully, and God bless, and I'll talk to you soon. You're dismissed.
You are strong. You are